right now. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tonight. I want to talk to you for just a little bit tonight about this next generation. And I guess I want to start off by saying, and we'll pray and run, but I want you to think for just a moment here. This next generation is not and I know for us, it's teenagers, it's the millennials, it's the young people. But your family, you got to remember that they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and the ones that had lived were those who were 19 and younger. So 40 years later, they're 60 years old. So here they are, 60 years of age and younger, and they're on the edge of going into the promised land. And the book of Deuteronomy, meaning second law, this book of Deuteronomy, he's not a new law, a restating of the law, things that need to be said again. And the reason it needs to be said again, because this next generation needs to know this is what God said. And we know, I think it's chapter 1, verse number 3, that God told Moses what to say before they were going to go into the promised land. And when you look at the book as a whole, and that's what we're doing on these Wednesday nights, when you look at the book as a whole, we're not going through this verse by verse. We're not even going through this chapter by chapter. We're going through this through the, if I can say, topical in the sense of the groupings of verses that God stresses things. All right, so for instance, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and he goes over about this idea of repeating, don't repeat failure, and he goes through the storyline, how they got to the promised land, and go. He says, listen, don't you do that. Second generation, don't repeat failure. And then I think last week we talked about chapters 4 through 7 and chapter 14 through 26, groupings of verses and chapters where he's saying, now listen, second law, don't forget my commandments. In other words, obey what I'm telling you to do. Now tonight, here's what I want you to think about tonight. Chapters 8 and 9 have to do with this one thought about, and that's this, don't forget. All right, now let's look at just a few verses to get us started tonight. Look at your Bible, look at chapter 8, verse number 2, and I want you to, I'm going to stop and have you say a word, so follow me now. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 2, and it says, and thou shalt, what's the word? Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Jump down to verse number 5. Thou shalt also, what's the word? Consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Verse number 11. Beware that thou, what's the word? Forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Jump down to verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up and thou what? Forget the Lord thy God. Verse number 18, it says, but thou shalt what? Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Verse number 19, and it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Chapter 9, verse number 7, what's the first word? What's the third word? Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath. So church family, with just the pinpointing of this word remember and forget, we see here that several times in chapters 8 and 9, God is trying to tell the children of Israel, the second generation, hey listen, I want to tell you there's some things you best not forget. So what's the third thing that God's trying to teach this generation is he's reminding them not to forget. And we're going to look at the three things that God tells them not to forget, and they're very applicable to us today that we shouldn't forget also, all right? So let's pray one more time, ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we stop again and say we need you tonight. Would you again fill us with your spirit? God, give us the words to say. Lord, help people, Father, to hear from you tonight. May you be honored and glorified. And Lord, the knowledge of Deuteronomy, Father, may it change us in the application of our own life, Lord, what we should be remembering and not forgetting. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church family, it's so easy for us to forget things. And obviously, the older we get, our human nature seems like we forget, but sometimes it's not lack of age. I was looking up on what causes forgetfulness. Number one reason is getting married. No, I'm just joking, okay. Harvard Medical School said that the 6 top reasons for a person losing their memory or forgetting things, I should say, is number one, lack of sleep. Number two, medications. Number three, underactive thyroid. Number four, alcohol. Number 5, stress and anxiety. And number 6, depression, all right? Now, I'm hoping alcohol you're not dealing with, but the rest of those maybe, I don't know. But you understand that it is so easy for us to forget things. Sometimes we say, well, he has a selective memory. But there's things that we often forget. And God says that part of our humanity is that we don't remember everything. And so he's on the edge, children of Israel about to go into the promised land. And he says, now listen, I want to remind you, these are some things you best remember, all right? Now, can we make application tonight that we've got a generation, and yes, they're young, but a generation of young people that need to be reminded some things because they weren't there with the first generation. They weren't there with the first generation when they saw the Red Sea part and when the 10 plagues had taken place and when they saw water come out of a rock and manna fall from heaven and quail that was, I think the Bible teaches that it was just a few feet off the ground where they went and got the quail. All of these miracles that they saw, this second generation didn't see all those miracles. This second generation is now about to go into the promised land, and they are still going to see miracles. They're going to see the Jordan River part. They're going to cross over that on dry ground. They're going to see walls of Jericho fall flat. They're going to see some great miracles also. And listen, can I tell you, the generation that's growing up right now, they can see God move. They can see God do some great and mighty things. You know, look, you look back at Heritage Baptist Church and its history, and when we were over on 6th and Folks Road, we remember when we were about to build our first particular building, and I had a surveyor come out and said, "Hey, listen, I hate to tell you this, but you're at least 3 feet lower on one end of your building than you are the other." He said, "You're going to need a ton of clay, a lot of clay." It's the building that's right next door here, 90 by 125. He says, "You're going to need a ton of clay." And again, I drove down to a local builder, and I said, "Hey, do you know where I could get some clay?" He says, "Yeah, I got some clay right now." He says, "How much you need?" I said, "Well, I don't really know how much I need." I said, "We're trying to build this building and I've got to get the other side of the building. I need to raise it." He says, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll send the clay down and whenever you've had enough, just let me know." Well, I had no idea that it would be 220 truckloads later that's how much clay we needed. That guy didn't charge us a dime. Some of you remember in the older, younger days of our church family when we did the Reaching Kansas and we were doing our best to try to put a track on every door in the state of Kansas, and the young people of that era are now older and have children, that you would go, and sometimes we'd be in a vehicle for 7 and 8 hours to get on the other side of the state so that we could hit every city in our state and put a track on those doors. Church family, that was a miracle. Not one accident. I mean, besides, I think you got bit. All righty. We won't tell everybody where he got bit either. But anyway, he got bit by a dog. But so, you know, we look back at those miracles that God did, and we could go on and on and on. But can I tell you, there's another generation coming up. And you, by the way, you need to see God do things that you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, that was not by the pastor or by us as a congregation. God worked on our behalf. And this generation that's about to go into the promised land, he says, "Listen, I'm going to do miracles for you, but there's some things you've got to make sure you tell them not to forget." Now, quickly, let's look at these tonight. Again, there are three of them. Let's look at the first one, chapter 8. Look at verse number 2 with me. It says, "And thou shalt remember," what? "All the way that the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." Now, just let me think for a moment. Here's what took place. They're about to go into the promised land. Moses stops. They're on the border. Moses is not going to get to go in the promised land. Joshua's going to lead them in. They're on the border. He stops. God tells Moses what to say. Moses is talking to the chosen of Israel, the second generation. He says, "Listen, I want to remind you that for 40 years you were in that wilderness and God took care of you. Are you listening tonight? I want to remind you that for 40 years you wandered that wilderness, your foot didn't swell and the raiment didn't go old." He says, "God sent manna from heaven and made sure that you got fed. You never missed a meal and God took care of you." He says, "You better remember that." Can I tell you tonight, we as Christians, not just this next generation, all of us tonight, we need to remember how God's taken care of us. We need to think about what you did when you didn't have, and how God didn't let you miss a meal, and how God made sure that you had a vehicle to get where you needed to go, and how God healed you of some type of ailment or illness, and all the things that God did in our life, we need to remember those things. So he's telling the children of Israel, "I want to remind you what God did for you in the wilderness." My wife and I today, she was picking out what suits I had sent into the cleaners, and I said, "You know, I'm gonna clean out the closet real quick as far as my suits, whichever ones." And you know what? Can you imagine? The children of Israel, their raiment did not grow old and their foot did not swell. Now, church family, in 40 years, tell me your foot doesn't grow. Now, this is me speaking, but I think God let their shoes grow. because their foot did not swell, which means if they were a child in 40 years, their foot's going to grow. But their suit, it was always the right size. How come my suits don't stay that way? I'm just saying that God was trying to tell the children of Israel, I took care of you. I did what nobody else could do. I gave you, you ate angels' food. You know, we take for granted sometimes so much the blessings of God that we overlook, and we say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, but do we really give thanks? We talk about how God will supply all of our need, but do we recognize that he's the one that supplied the need? He said to the children of Israel, before you go back in, I want to remind you all the things that God did for you while you were in the wilderness. But he didn't stop there. Look at verse number 7. It says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Church family, what's the good land that he's about to bring them into? Promised land, Canaan land, all right? Look what he says next. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse number 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Just remember, again, there's more here in the passage, but he's not just talking about when they were in the wilderness, God took care of them. He says, I'm telling you future tense how I'm going to take care of you when you get inside the good land. Can I tell you that, God, listen to me tonight, God's been good to us in the past, and he's going to be good to us in the future. You ought to thank God for that. Amen. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to recognize all that God has done and is going to do for you. We got a generation that, and again, young people, I'm not trying to offend you tonight. I'm not trying to pinpoint you in the sense that you're a bad person. You're not a bad person. But God's been very good to you, and if you're not careful, you're not going to recognize that. Listen to me. You got to grow up in a Christian home. You got to go into a church, whether it's this church or church before you came, a church that preached and taught the Bible. And I want to tell you something. The United States of America, I know there's a lot of things going haywire right now, but I'm thankful for being in America. I was reading the letter from Brother Novak today in Africa, and they were just in Kenya, and they were just able to go back to church. And you know what the stipulations for them to go back to church are? If you're below 13 or if you're above 58, you're not allowed to go to church. If you go to church, it's a limited number. Everybody has to wear a mask that comes, and everybody has to wash their hands before they come in. That means Brother and Sister Novak can't even go to church because they don't meet the age requirement. Now, I know a lot of crazy things have happened, and they probably still are going to keep happening until the Lord comes back. But I'm going to tell you, we got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot to be thankful for. And young person, if you were raised in a Christian home and God was so gracious to allow you to have a Christian education or have your parents homeschool you with a Christian education. If God has been so good to you to give your mom and dad that stayed together, hey, you don't have to look very far to find out there's some pretty messed up homes out there. He said, listen, you better remind this group that I am the one that took care of them. You know, we use the verse, and I use the verse almost on a regular basis out of Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 4, where it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I believe that is talking about the word of God, because every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is the word that we have in our hand. Amen? But if you ever thought about the context of where the verse came from originally, it's Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and he reminds us. Look what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 again. Look at verse number 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Now think about this, the word that's next. In other words, why did God feed them with manna? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Do you understand what he's trying to say here? Here's what he's, if I can summarize it correctly. What he's trying to say is you didn't live because you ate manna. You live because God sent and said he was going to send manna. Let me see if I can word that again. It wasn't the manna that they ate, because man doth not live by bread alone. It wasn't because you had bread to put in your mouth. It's because there's a God in heaven that spoke, that said, send manna, that came down to you. You don't drive a good car or have a nice house or have children or have food on your table or have a job because you're a hard worker and you've got character. You have it because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, what God says is going to happen, happens. He was trying to remind them that it was not them that did it. It was God. And during that 40 years, the raiment, the shoes, the food, everything you have was because there was a God that took care of you. And church family, I just want to remind us tonight, I don't care how hard it gets on you, there's still a God that takes care of you. Amen. And we better remind the next generation it's him. All right, look at the next thing. Look at verse number 14. First thing he said is make sure they remember, not forget how God has taken care of them. Second of all, verse number 14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of where? From the house of what? Now, I think you already understand what this is talking about in application to us as Christians, as well as which direction we're going tonight. But Egypt is always a picture of the world, and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt is always a picture of salvation. Always. You say, Pastor, how is it a picture of salvation? Well, it's real simple, okay? Hey, children of Israel, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to make sure it's a male lamb. I want you to make sure it's a male lamb without blemish. I want you to slit its throat. I want you to put its blood into a basin. He says, I want you to take that blood and I want you to put it on the lintel and the doorpost, because the death angel is going to come. And then when he sees the blood, he's going to pass over you. Are y'all with me so far? And wherever there was not blood, that there was going to be somebody dying in that house. And can I tell you something? That in order for a person to get saved, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. He was a male. He was a male without blemish. He was the Son of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And when he shed his blood, he did not die by strangling. He did not die by beating. He died by blood sacrifice. He was the only one that could die for us. And when he died on that cross, he paid our sin debt. And when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father sees the blood of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Christ. And that's what makes you have a home in heaven, makes you saved. So Egypt is a picture of salvation when they came out and they're about to cross the Red Sea. Now, church, let me think for a second here. He says, I want you to remind them of that night. I want you to remind them of the death of the firstborn. I want you to remind them of the Passover lamb. I want you to remind them of them leaving Egypt, and let them remember what it was like before that. The rigor, the hard bondage, the servitude to Pharaoh. Church, I know that we forget. I was raised in a Christian home. I got saved when I was 5 years old. I've never gone to public education. I've went to a Christian school in my life, went to Bible college, married a wonderful wife. God's been very gracious to me, more than I deserve. I did not have that life of sin like sometimes we think about. I've never drank alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette. There's many things I have not done, and I've got a whole lot of things that I have done I wish I would have never done. But I understand this one thing, that I am saved the same way as the person who is in all kinds of sinful things. I got saved the same way that person did. I was the child of the devil. I was a servant of sin. You say, what you got? I got saved when I was 11, made a profession when I was 5. But I got saved when I was 11 years old. I understood it, and I received the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Can I tell you that just because our young people in this generation right now, they haven't been out per se in the world yet, and they haven't gone down that road yet, and they've been protected, and they've had a mom and dad, and in some cases a teacher or a pastor that have counseled them and taught them and protected them and told them no. But can I tell you, we all deserve to go to hell. And you know what you better remember? He saved you. He saved you. We're about to go into the promised land. He says, Moses, I want you to tell that generation something before they go in. Number one, you remind them how I took care of them. He said, number two, you remind them of Egypt. You remind them how I saved them. Church family, could you stop for just a moment and think about when you got saved? You know, sometimes I don't ask you enough of your testimony. You hear me enough. I was 11 years old, sitting in the fourth row back. Preach on hell scared me. You've heard it so many times. Your salvation testimony is just as special, if not more. It's more special to you because it's you that's saved, not on your way to hell. Where were you when you got saved? What did the Holy Spirit say to you or do to you that drew you under conviction to where you understood that you needed to receive Christ? You know, I'm not trying to get you to doubt, because I know sometimes we doubt because of memory's sake. I can't remember. Our memory does not determine whether or not you're saved or not. There's a lot of things I can't remember about the day I got saved, but I know I'm saved. First two things I thank God for every day of my life when I start my prayer time. I get up in the morning, I get dressed, I go outside the room. Usually I walk inside our house in the mornings. The very first thing I say is, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. You ought not to forget that. You know, some of you young people in here, I think that your relationship with God would be so much more closer if you would just think about the day you got saved every day of your life. Because that's where it began for you. It didn't begin because you had Christian education. It didn't begin because you go to church. It began because you were a child of the devil, became a child of God. Amen. When did you become a child of God? Then remember it. All right, so the first thing he says, I want you to remember, make sure that you remind them, I should say, remind them that God took care of them. Number two, remind them that God saved them. Last of all, look at chapter 9, verse number 7. Chapter 9, verse number 7, first word again is what? And a third word says what? Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. Now, church, I want to show you the five different places, and then I want to come back and talk to you for just a moment about this. In verse 7, he used the word wilderness. He says, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, which means when they came out of the children of, when they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, they came through the wilderness. Here, I know you're already looking for the five things. I'm going to show you. Okay, hold on one second here. All right. You're still looking. Go right ahead. All right, so anyway. So they leave Egypt. They come through the wilderness. They get to Kadesh Barnea. They send the spies in. They're still in the wilderness. They don't go in the promised land. They go back to the wilderness, and they wander for 40 years, okay? So he's talking about a lot of time here, okay? 40 years. But he mentions five places, all right? And I'm going to point them out to you real quickly here. And the first one is in verse number 8, also in Horeb. All right, now speak out for a second here. Where or what was Horeb? Mount Sinai, that's right. It was Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments. All right, now, from verse number 8 down through verse 21 is all about Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb. All right, now look at verse 22. And at where? Tabera. And at where? Massa. And at where? Kibroth Hattaava, very good. Ye provoked the Lord to wrath. Now think about the phrase there. Ye provoked the Lord to wrath. Look at verse number 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath. All right, one more place, verse 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from where? Kadesh Barnea. All right, so there's five places that are mentioned. Verse number 8 is Horeb. Verse number 22 is Tabera, Massa, Kibroth Hattaava. And then in verse number 23 is Kadesh Barnea. All of those was in the wilderness. Now, church, I mean, here's what he's trying to say here, okay? He stops, he's talking to the children of Israel. He says, listen, he says, I want you to remember how you provoked the Lord to wrath in the wilderness. He says, I want you to remember Mount Horeb. He says, I want you to think back to Mount Sinai. Church family, what happened at Mount Sinai? Moses goes up for 40 days and 40 nights, and while he's up there, what's the children of Israel doing? They're making a what? And they're dancing around it and throwing off their clothes. And Moses comes down with the two commandments in his hands. He throws them at the bottom. He says, okay, that's fine. Give me that calf. He burns it, puts it into the water, and makes them drink it. Moses wasn't a happy camper. They provoked God to wrath. It's interesting. Then he goes from there in verse number 22. He talks about Tabera. But church, I'm not going to take you to all these passages. I'm just going to tell you what they're about. But in Numbers chapter 11, verses number 1, 2, and 3, it talks about Taberah. And Taberah, the Bible says, is that they complained to God, and God sent fire among them and killed a bunch of them just with fire for complaining. You know why? They provoked him by wrongdoing. The next one is Massah. That's Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through verse number 7. Massah was the place where there was no water, and the people tempted God. And you know how they tempted? Here's what they said. Is the Lord God among us or not? That's what they said. In other words, they didn't have any water, and so instead of trusting God and asking God, they got smart with God. Well, Moses, is God among us or not? God said, okay. So God gave them water, but they tempted him at the waters of Massah. The next one was Kibroth Hattaavah. This is Numbers chapter 11, verse number 31 through 35. This is when God gave the children of Israel quail to eat. Now, we could have taken time to do a Bible study tonight, and I know, I'm sorry we're not doing that. But the quail, remember they started complaining about manna? All we have to do is eat this loathsome bread. Church family, they were eating angels' food. All we got is this bread. And God said, oh, that's fine. I'll give you flesh to eat. And I'm going to give you so much flesh that for the next several days, 30 days or 40 days, he says, you're going to eat so much, it's going to come out your nostrils. So God sends quail, and the Bible says that instead of just getting enough quail to eat, they stayed out there all day long throughout the evening just collecting quail. And the Bible says that God killed the fattest of them for their lust. They tempted God. They tempted God. And so the Bible says God sent a very great plague. We don't know how many died, but God sent a very great plague and God killed a bunch of them. Kadesh Barnea, 12 spies. That's where the 12 spies went in. And the Bible says, obviously, they were going to wander for 40 years. Now, here's the thought tonight. Are you with me so far? Say amen. Amen. First thing that he says, stop. And I want you to make sure they don't forget. Are you with me tonight? Say amen again. Amen. You tell the children of Israel, he says, listen, first of all, you better remind them I'm the one that took care of them. Church family, may we never forget. God takes care of us. Number two, you tell that generation that I brought them out of Egypt and I'm the one that saved them. Church family, may we never forget, God saved us. We deserve to die and go to hell. He saved us, all right? Number three, he talks to the children of Israel. He says, you remind them that how many times they provoked me to anger. And he mentions the five different places and how God even had to kill several of them. It was interesting on the golden calf, 3,000 people died just at the golden calf because they weren't on the Lord's side. Now, do you understand? Here's the thought. God could have killed them at any of those five places when they provoked him to wrath. But you know what? God didn't kill them. You know why? Because he forgave them. Amen. You're in chapter number 8 and 9 there. I want to do one more thing here real quickly here tonight. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Yes, look at verse number 8. Chapter number 9, verse number 8. It says, also in Horeb we provoked the Lord God to wrath so that the Lord was angry with you to have, what's the word? Destroyed you. Jump down to verse number 14. Let me alone, God speaking to Moses. Let me alone that I may what? Destroy them. Verse number 25. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. Just remember, you know the third thing I see that Moses was supposed to remind them? Children of Israel. Remember all those times you made God mad? He forgave you. You know, I don't know that we really think about how many times we provoke. The word provoke and provokest, I think, is two or three times in this one passage alone. Come here, Seth, for just a moment here. If I want to get in a fight with somebody, all I got to use is my mouth. You're ugly. You're stinking ugly. I can want to fight. I can push. You know what that's called? That's called provoking. Did you know that when you sin, you know what you do to God? You provoke him to respond to your disobedience. It's not just a bad movie or a bad book. It's not just using God's name in vain. It's not just I didn't read my Bible today or the last several days. When you disobey God, you're provoking him to have to do something to you. You say, why? Because you're a child of God. Amen. You're his. And you want to talk about the greatness of God? You may be seated. I don't know if you're catching it tonight. You know what Moses was trying to say? God didn't kill you. God didn't destroy you. God didn't give you what you deserved. God did not punish you. Hey, church family, can I remind this generation that I'm speaking to right now? Don't forget how many times God's forgiven you. It's not meant to be a favorite verse, but I quote it often. It's Psalm 103:10. It's because I can't get it off my mind. I almost probably quote it in prayer on a regular basis. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You know, this week I was felt like it recently. There's just so many personal illustrations because my kids are getting older. If I would have had children at a decent age, I'd be talking about grandchildren instead of children. One of my kids, I had told them what I wanted, what my will was, and they didn't want to do it. And it irritated me very much. And I finally just said, don't talk to me. It was one of my boys, not my girls. My girls are still young. They don't do stuff like that. My boys, they're getting older and they think they're men. They're not. I just told them, I said, don't talk to me. You know why I said that? Because he already knew what my will was. Do you know what we do to God? We already know what his will is for our life. Listen to me now. We already know what God's will is for our life, and we still do what we want, not what he wants. You know what we're doing? We're provoking him. I'm sure glad he doesn't give me what I deserve. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've provoked him. I can't tell you how many times he said, don't, I'm talking about God. I can't tell you how many times he said, don't talk to me. You say, God does that? Of course he does. Psalm 66, verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Israel, I can't go with you. I wish I could. But God told me to tell you something. He said to remind you of three things. He said, number one, you better never forget what he did and how he took care of you when you were in the wilderness. He said, number two, he said, you better never forget what happened when you came out of the land of Egypt, how God saved you. And he said, number three, you better never forget all the times you provoked him and he forgave you. That's the next generation. By the way, that's our generation. Church family, tonight, I think all of us should be saying, God, thank you for taking care of me. I think all of us should be saying, God, thanks for saving me. And I think all of us should be saying, God, thanks for not killing me. Amen. Thank you for forgiving me. Just bow your head and close your eyes tonight.